Thank you very much for that beautiful special. Well, it's time that we might hear the word of God from our brother, my neighbor. I don't get to see him too often. I truly enjoy the way he approaches the word of God in a very simple, straightforward way. And so I hope and pray that your hearts and your minds are open and attuned to the things in which our brother would have to bring to you this evening. So I'll introduce now my brother Jim Yates, Sr.
Thank you, Gordon. I'm going to start my sermon out this evening same way my son did his last sermon. Between cough syrup and cough drops, I might make it through. And that's the same way it was the last time I was up here. I'm going to start this evening in the 24th chapter of Matthew. And I'm going to read the 3rd through the 14th verse. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign be of thy coming and the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray each other, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and many shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come." Now I'm going to go back to 24th chapter of Matthew, so you might as well put something in there so you can find it again real quick, like, keep your place. In the beginning of this chapter there, we see that Jesus has just told the disciples about the destruction of the temple. And in the 3rd verse, we see them asking him questions. We also see in these few verses a lot of things that's going to happen before the end comes. I'm going to read 4 and 5 again. "And Jesus answered them and said unto them, 'Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.'" Over the years, we have seen a few that have claimed to be Christ, but not really too many at this time. There's more deception in the world today because of all the additions and deletions that have been made in the new Bibles that's out there. And some court decisions, which the courts of the land, their decisions say are illegal, but are completely opposite of the laws of God. These additions and deletions and court decisions has deceived many and caused many to sin. Of course, we know who's causing all of this problem and deception. He has many names. He truly is the master deceiver. The scriptures tell us that when Satan was cast out of heaven, he took a third of the angels with him. How many in number, we have no idea. But when we read the scriptures, we see that it was a great number. In Mark, we see that there's only a portion of those evil spirits are out there. Let's go to Mark 5, first chapter. I'm going to start with the first verse. And they came over from the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he came out of the ship, speaking of Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. Fetters, by the way, means to confine or restrain in some other way. So they've evidently done everything they could think of to confine him, and they haven't done any good. And the fetters he broke into pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried in a loud voice and said, "What had I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And that means to earnestly appeal, adjure. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there were unto the mountain great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. And they were choked in the sea. 2,000 evil spirits in this one man. And they that fed the swine fled and told in the city and into the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that he was, that was possessed with the devil and had the legion setting, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him, and that he that was possessed with the devil also concerning the swine. I looked into three different dictionaries to find out just what legion was. And I came up with between 5,000 and 6,000. 1,200 people. This man that was spoke of when we read verse 9, he had at least 2,000 spirits in him. He run out into 2,000 pigs. That tells us that Satan has a lot of evil spirits out there helping him with his work. No idea how many, but a lot. Now let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, we're going to start in the 53rd verse. And here we find Jesus and his disciples in Gethsemane. And we find that the soldiers that had come to take him away, in verse 50 there, tells us that they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. But Jesus had something to say there in the 53rd verse. It's very interesting. He says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and that he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Well, according to my little calculator, when I figured that out, I come to 74,400. That's the help he could have had if he'd wanted it. So we have no idea how many legions is out there, period. But in the next verse, he explains why he couldn't ask his Father for that help. Verse 54. "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be?" And if you go down to verse 56, I'll read the first half of it. It says, "But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Now let's go back to Matthew 24. And I'm going to read 6 and 7 again. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. As we look at the world today, there's no major war going, but lots of problems in the Middle East and North Africa. The killing of innocent people, not only in that part of the world, but not too long ago, a big killing in France, some in our country. And it doesn't matter to them, even in their own country. We saw just the other day on the news where they had killed a bunch in Pakistan. That's where they live. That's their country. And problems in Iraq with their car bombs and their having been brainwashed, the way I'd think it, for the suicide bombers. We wonder just who these people are that are so bloodthirsty. Let's go back to the scriptures again. Genesis 16. I'm going to read 11 and 12. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, speaking to Hagar, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thine affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. This scripture right here tells me that these people are the descendants of Ishmael, just exactly as the angel told Hagar. And they're just as wild today as the day that that angel said that we would be. And every man's hand against them. And they live with their brethren, in the presence with their brethren. Satan definitely lives there also to guide and direct these people's minds. They're causing us a lot of problems, not just us, but worldwide, generally speaking. But this is not the first time that we've had trouble with the descendants of Ishmael. In the late 1700s and the early 1800s, they had trouble in Libya then, just like they're having trouble in Libya now, along what was called the Barbary Coast. And they had a group of men that they called the Barbary Pirates that controlled the Mediterranean Sea. And they would take merchant ships and hold them for ransom. They would take the sailors and hold them as hostage. Things haven't changed much, have they, in that part of the country? On June 10th, 1801, claiming that insufficient tribute had been paid, the Bashaw of Tripoli declared war on the United States. President Jefferson ordered sailors and Marines to go to Tripoli to join the fight. Tripoli. Because of that, is the reason why we have the Marine Corps hymn today. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. They fight to keep our country free. On June 3rd, 1805, a peace treaty was signed. But history does repeat itself. And all we got to do is to turn the news on and watch the news and see exactly what the angel told Hagar. They truly are wild men. Jesus spoke of pestilences and diseases. It seems like there's always something new that we never heard of before. Until last year, we never really knew much about a disease called Ebola. Deadly. And just last week, on the news, I heard of a new disease caused by a mosquito bite, called Zika virus. And as of now, there's nothing can be done about it. They're working as fast as they can for a vaccine of some kind. But who knows how long that'll take. It seems that it's especially bad for pregnant women who have been bitten by that mosquito. I think they got 37 some cases in the United States now. These women have been down in South America and lower Mexico and got bitten by that mosquito. When the baby's born, it has an unusually small head that doesn't grow, but the brain inside does. And there's only a certain amount of space there, and then something happens. I pray they do find a vaccine soon. Jesus also speaks about earthquakes. Now, we haven't had too many earthquakes in the U.S. lately. However, a week ago, they did have a pretty good one in Alaska, 7.8 or 2 or something like that. But lots of tornadoes and floods and wildfires everywhere, especially in the western part of the United States. Australia has a lot of wildfires, just like we do. And this storm that we had last week, was it? Week and a half ago, in the east with all the deep snow, it affected 102.8 million people. no power, no water. And what problems the snow didn't cause, the flooding did. It was called one of 10 worst storms ever recorded on the East Coast. China has such terrible air pollution that the people wear masks all the time in some of those large cities. Foul air from that. But it's not the only kind of pollution that we have going on in this world. The air is also filled with pollution from foul language. We hear it more and more. And just the other night, I was watching the political debates on TV. I had to get up and turn it off for some of the language that they was using. And I thought, he needs to have his mouth washed out with soap. And as that, I thought of that, I thought of my mother. She used to say that. He needs to have his mouth washed out with soap for the foul language that she heard being spoken. There's no need for it. Worldwide, we see more and more natural disasters, much greater than before. Let's go to Mormon, page 704. Page 704, and I'm going to start in the 33rd verse, speaking of different types of disasters. And no one need say, they shall not come, for they shall surely shall, for the Lord has spoken it. For out of the earth they shall come, by the hand of the Lord, and none can stay it. And it shall come in a day when it shall be said that miracles are done away, and it shall come even as if one shall speak from the dead. And it shall come in the day when the blood of the saints shall cry unto the Lord because of the secret combinations and the works of darkness. Yea, it shall come in the day when the power of God shall be denied, and churches shall become defiled. And they shall lift up in that day in pride of their hearts, yea, even in the day when leaders of churches and teachers in the pride of their hearts, even to the envy of them who belong to their churches. Yea, it shall come in the day when there shall be heard of fires and tempests and vapors and smoke in foreign lands, and it shall also be heard of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. Yea, it shall come in the day when there shall be great pollutions upon the earth. There shall be murders and robbings and lyings and deceivings and whoredoms and all manners of abominations. When there shall be many which shall say, do this or do that, and it mattereth not, for the Lord will uphold such in the last day. They've got another thought coming, haven't they? But woe unto such, for they that are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. Yea, it shall come in the day when the churches shall build up, that shall say, come unto me, and for your money you shall be given, forgiven your sins. O ye wicked and preserved stiff-necked people, why have ye built up churches unto yourself to get gain? Why have you transfigured the holy word of God that ye might bring damnation to your souls? Behold, look ye to the revelations of God. For behold, the time cometh that the day when all these things must be fulfilled. What does Jesus have to say about this time in history? Don't need to go back to it, but I'll just read it. It's just one short verse. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. When will this end? Page 218 of the Book of Mormon, in Mosiah, King Benjamin is speaking. Verse 121. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Now let's go back to Matthew 24, the 13th and 14th verse. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's Jesus speaking. When he was here, according to the dates in the book, it was about 150 years later than when King Benjamin spoke. But Jesus said almost the same thing in the 14th verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. As yet, the gospel has not gone to all the nations, kindred, tongues, and people of this world. And until that time, the end will not come. We can depend on that, because that's the Lord's word, and he does not lie. I'll close with one short verse. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. All this will come to be, and we can't stop it. I thank you for your time and patience. May God bless us always.